And now, Tom Becker.
Good morning. Today I'm reading from an article about the U.S. military entitled "We're Not the Good Guys" by Tom Englehart. Now, I'm pretty sure every xenophobic, nationalist American patriot would agree with this sentiment. America first, and if we think you're getting in our way, we kick butt. That's what those angry patriots would say. The article I'm about to read takes a radically different perspective. Headlined "U.S. Seeks Other Ways to Stop Iran Shy of War," the article was tucked away on page A9 of a recent New York Times. Still, it caught my attention, Englehart writes. Here's the first paragraph of that article. American intelligence and military officers are working in additional clandestine plans to counter Iranian aggression in the Persian Gulf, pushed by the White House to develop new options that would help deter Iran without escalating tensions into a full-out conventional war, according to current and former officials. Note that Iranian aggression. The rest of the piece, fairly typical of the tone of American media coverage of the ongoing Iran crisis, included sentences like this. The CIA has longstanding secret plans for responding to Iranian provocations. I'm sure I've read such things hundreds of times without ever really stopping to think much about them, but this time I did. And what struck me was this. Rare is the moment in which mainstream news reports when Americans are the provocative ones, though the Iranians immediately accused the U.S. military of just that, a provocation, when it came to the U.S. drone its Revolutionary Guard recently shot down, either over Iranian airspace or the Strait of Hormuz. When it comes to Washington's never-ending war on terror, I think I can say with reasonable confidence that in the past, the present, and the future, the one phrase you're not likely to find in such media coverage will be American aggression. I mean, forget the history of the second half of the last century and all of this one so far. Forget that back in the Neolithic age of the 1980s, before Iraq autocrat Saddam Hussein turned out to be the new Adolf Hitler and needed to be taken down by us, no aggression there, the administration of President Ronald Reagan actively backed Hussein's unprovoked invasion of and war against Iran. That included his use of chemical weapons upon Iranian troop concentrations that American military intelligence helped him target. Forget that in 2003, the administration of George W. Bush launched an unprovoked war of aggression against Iraq based on false intelligence about Saddam's supposed weapons of mass destruction and his supposed links to al-Qaeda. Forget that the Trump administration tore up a nuclear agreement with Iran to which that country was adhering and which indeed would indeed have effectively prevented it from producing nuclear weapons for the foreseeable future. Forget that its supreme leader, in fatwas he issued, prohibited the creation of or stockpiling of such weaponry in any case. Forget that the Trump administration has in a completely unprovoked manner, imposed crippling sanctions on that country and its oil trade, causing genuine suffering, in hopes of toppling that regime economically, as Saddam Hussein's had been toppled militarily in a navy in Iraq in 2003, all in the name of preventing the atomic weapons that the Obama negotiated pact had taken care of. Forget the fact that an American president who at the last moment halted airstrikes against Iranian missile bases after one of their missiles shot down that American drone is now promising that an attack on anything American will be met with great and overwhelming force. In some areas, overwhelming will mean obliteration. So here's the strange thing. On a planet on which in 2017 U.S. Special Operations Forces deployed to 149 countries, or approximately 75% of all nations, on which the U.S. has perhaps 800 military garrisons outside its own territory, on which the U.S. Navy patrols most of its oceans and seas, on which U.S. unmanned aerial drones conduct assassination strikes across a surprising range of countries, and on which the U.S. has been fighting wars, as well as more minor conflicts, for years on end, from Afghanistan to Libya, Syria, Yemen, Iraq to Niger, in a century in which it chose to launch full-scale invasions of two countries, Afghanistan and Iraq, is it truly reasonable never to identify the U.S. as an aggressor anywhere? Wherever Americans are bothered, harassed, threatened, attacked, we are always the ones being provoked and aggressed upon, never provoking and aggressing. No, don't get me wrong. Yes, the Iranians can and sometimes do provoke and aggress. It's an ugly planet filled with aggression and provocation. In short, when it comes to provocation and aggression, the world is our oyster. There are so many bad guys out there, and then, of course, there's us. We can make mistakes and missteps. We can kill staggering numbers of civilians, destroy cities, uproot populations, create hordes of refugees with our never-ending wars across the greater Middle East and Africa. But aggression? What are you thinking? One thing is obvious. If you follow the mainstream media, in our world, no matter what we do, we're still the good guys on a planet filled with provocateurs and aggressors of every sort. If in the early 1970s you had told me, or any other American, that in the nearly half century to come, the U.S. would fight wars and lesser conflicts of almost every imaginable sort in startling numbers of places thousands of miles from home, including Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, Somalia, Syria, and Yemen, countries most Americans couldn't then, or even now, find on a map. I guarantee you one thing, we would have thought you were nuts. And I haven't even mentioned Pakistan, Niger, and God knows where else. You should also note that the American Forever War on Terror has proven a remarkably effective war for terror, clearly helping to foster and spread such groups, aggressors and provocateurs all, around significant parts of the planet, and from the Philippines to the Congo. Addicted to war? Not us. Still, all in all, is quite a record, and let's not forget that looming on the horizon is another possible war, this time with Iran, a country that men overseeing the invasion of Iraq in 2003, including present National Security Advisor John Bolton, were eager to go after even then. Everyone wants to go to Baghdad, so the saying reputedly went in Washington at the time. Real men want to go to Tehran. And it's just possible that in 2019, Bolton and crew will be able to act on that much-delayed urge. Considering the history of American wars in these years, what could possibly go wrong? To sum up, no one should ever claim that we Americans aren't at home in the world. We're everywhere, remarkably well-funded and well-armed, and ready to face off against the aggressors and provocateurs of this planet. Just one small suggestion. Thank the troops for their service if you want. And then, as most Americans do, go about your business as if nothing were happening in those distant lands. As we head into election season 2020, however, just don't imagine that we're the good guys on planet Earth. As far as I can tell, there aren't many good guys left. I've been reading excerpts from an article entitled We're Not the Good Guys by Tom Engelhardt. The complete article can be found on the Counterpunch webpage. Tom Engelhardt is a co-founder of the American Empire Project and runs the webpage tomdispatch.com. His latest book is Shadow Government, Surveillance, Secret Wars, and a Global Security State in a Single Superpower World.